Welcome to Valley of the Sunset, a Vampire the Masquerade V5 Chronicle set in Phoenix, Arizona. And we are continuing the same night. The bellhops have returned to the Hotel Bella Muerte to await further instructions from the prince. They have met up with Melinda and filled her in as she comes in from her nightly duties at the Chantry. And she's been sent back with Foxglove with instructions to get some answers from Jason to run some of these mysteries by him and see if he knows anything. They've already kind of determined that the Chantry is not the ones to put the wards on the house, but Jason, being the regent, hopefully may know something. And Melinda arrives back at the old movie theater, an old Errol Flynn movie or something.
Okay.
And you see Jason and, you would know the rest of the Chantry. There's Jason, who is the regent, obviously. There's also Berlioz. He's a 12th generation House Tremere. And then there's also, there's Emily. So the three of them are seated amongst, kind of scattered. They're not sitting together. They're kind of scattered amongst the seats, but they're all watching this movie. And Jason obviously appears to be the most interested.
Okay. I'm probably going to, if there's a seat next to Jason, I'm going to go try to sit next to him.
Yeah, there's an open seat. And as you slide in next to him, he turns to you. Ah, Melinda, didn't expect to see you again this evening.
Hi, Jason. I was not expecting coming back, but I was hoping I can talk to you guys for a second.
Yeah, of course. I've always got a minute. I'll let these other two enjoy the film. I've seen this one a million times, but it's the first time for them. And you can obviously see like an eye roll from both of them, like they were hoping to get out of this, perhaps.
I mean, I wouldn't mind if they come. I would love to get all the help I could get.
Let's chat first, and we'll see if we need to bring these other two in. And he will stand and begin to lead you out of the theater, back out into the hallway.
And then as Melinda's also leaving, she's probably going to turn to them and be like, and mouth, like, whisper, like, sorry.
So, Melinda, what can I help you with?
I was wondering if you can help me and Foxglove figure out something that's kind of a little disturbing. Problematic, I should say.
Well, go ahead, spill it. What's going on?
Well, Foxglove and the others visited this house.
It was like super creepy. The neighborhood was like really normal, but the house itself had like definitely like serial killer vibes.
And they sensed some Tremere magic.
Well, that is very concerning, because I don't think we've had any business outside of the city in quite some time. Any indication if these were old or new?
Foxglove, were they old?
I think the current theory is that they're new after whatever's in the house woke up.
Oh yeah, there's apparently something they're trying to keep inside that may have affected Jeffy and Shep at the same time, way before they got to the house.
Oh, interesting. Some kind of, I'm afraid I'm unfamiliar. I'll need to examine Jeffy and Shep. You said had an experience?
Yes, was it that they felt their brain in pain, Foxglove? I think
like, it was like terror or something like that. They were freaking out. Well, I don't know if Shep was freaking out, but Jeffy was definitely freaking out in the car. He was like on the verge of like a terror frenzy or something like that.
I cannot imagine Shep freaking out, to be honest. But, yeah, but yes, Jeffy, yes.
Oh, well, so what help do you need from me other than information?
Well, I was wondering if you can help me get the information of who put those there. And maybe if you have someone that might know what they're trying to keep inside.
Well, perhaps I should accompany you back to this hotel of yours and meet with the rest of your coterie. Of course, Melinda, I'd be happy to investigate this mystery, and thank you for including me. If there's another blood sorcerer out there not affiliated with our chantry, then we should definitely know about it. Don't you agree, Melinda?
Well, of course, that's exactly why I came here. Eloise had this wonderful idea, so, you know, we're here.
Well, very good. I'll leave the other two to finish the movie, but why don't we make haste back to your hotel and get to the bottom of this?
Okay, yes, wonderful. Yes, thankfully we brought Foxglove's car. I wanted to bring my scooter, but Foxglove didn't want to.
Well, very well. Melinda, I have shotgun.
Oh, okay.
So, Melinda, you are in the car with Jason and Foxglove. Foxglove is driving, and you're speeding back to the Bella Muerte. In the meantime, while this was happening, back at the Hotel Bella Muerte, you have been awaiting a message from the prince. And who is currently manning the front desk?
I feel like Eloise is probably at the front desk and, like, getting some work done. I imagine that Shep and Jeffy are probably doing bar, restaurant business.
Yeah, I'm actually hanging out outside, seeing if I get that sense of being watched anymore.
You don't, not back at the hotel.
Okay.
Did you mention that to anyone?
Nope.
Cool.
So then, Shep, you would see a nondescript black car pull into the parking lot, park at a nearby door. A man in a very nice black suit gets out. He's carrying a briefcase with him, and he walks into the lobby. Eloise, this man walks right up to the front desk. He says nothing, but he reaches into the briefcase and pulls out a manila envelope and hands it to you. He gives you a polite nod, turns on his heel, his mission accomplished. And as long as no one impedes his exit, he will leave.
Yeah, I follow him in and then just wait in the lobby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you would see this handoff and the courier promptly leaves.
Eloise just kind of opens up the envelope.
So the contents of the envelope, there are two pieces of paper. One you recognize as the deed. The second is a handwritten note. It reads, "Be careful. He's not alone in there."
Thanks, Prince. Okay. So Eloise is annoyed that she hasn't been briefed more fully. But takes this A, as a test, and B, as a lesson learned for trying to gather more insight on future tasks. And then she's like, well, I better go and notify the others. And she's going to try and find... is Shep still standing there?
Yep.
Okay. So Eloise is going to kind of nod for Shep to come over and just kind of hand him the stuff to look at.
Well, doesn't give us much to go on.
It certainly doesn't, Shep.
Well, you should probably burn it. The note, not the deed.
Well, I think we still need it. You can take care of that, Shep. And she hands the note to you.
I just walk over to a trash bin in the corner and
Pull out a lighter, yeah.
You drop a lighter in the trash can, or you just throw it away?
No. Light it. Drop the note in the trash can.
Okay. I made you do it because I wasn't sure if the fire would cause like a frenzy or something.
Not something.
You guys are all old enough that a small fire like that doesn't immediately trigger rot shrek.
Good to know.
If you were like if you were a brand new fledgling, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it needs to be at least like a campfire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, a torch, you know, wielded threateningly at you, you know, might trigger it, but a small fire, a small fire that you lit is not going to.
Woo!
Yeah, you were expecting it, you know.
Yeah, I'm startled.
All right. So you intend to find Jeffy and inform him.
Yeah.
Jeffy, where are you? Are you at the bar?
Is that where Jeffy was told to be in this time?
Perhaps
I assumed that Jeffy would be in the bar doing his bar duties.
Ah, okay.
So where is Jeffy?
Jeffy is cleaning the rooms, innocently to the naked eye, but he's trying to figure out where Mama is.
Oh, you still don't know? That's right.
I don't know. I know she's here, and so there were no orders given. So he's got the little maid cart. Doing room service, turn down service or whatever. And if he happens to figure out where Mama is, then, you know.
Jeffy, this is good. I want you to roll me your wits or intelligence, whichever is higher, plus your investigation. And because you've already cleaned some of the rooms in process of elimination, I'm going to give you a +2 dice bonus on this roll.
That's 4 successes.
Four successes is just enough. You are cleaning. You hear. I actually think you probably hear the Molly laughing, and that's what tips it off for you. And Jeffy, you open the door. Mm-hmm. You see Mama and Molly watching cartoons.
And I think Jeffy has like a, hey, y'all. Hey, you guys having a good time? Oh, Mom, it's so good to see you. You guys having a good time?
Oh, Jeffy. And Mama immediately gets up and rushes over to you.
Will, hey, Mama. Hey.
Oh, it's so good to see you, son.
Yeah. I mean, you too. I was not 100% sure that you were still with us. So
she looks over your wounds. Oh, you're still looking a little rough.
Oh yeah, should have seen me the other night. But hey, I gotta get going before Miss Eloise sees us together. I gotta see. If Miss Eloise sees us together, I think she might just fucking kill me or you. I don't know. Hey Molly.
All right, Jeffy. I won't tell nobody.
I know you won't, Mama. I know you won't. Hey Molly, did you see me tonight?
Yes, Mr. Jeffy, I saw you. You're
How
right
about
here.
Boom? You didn't see me. I cloud her memory. To make her forget that.
Oh,
I was
okay, very
in.
Good. Yeah, all right. Yeah, so she kind of sits there in a daze with a vacant look on her face for several moments.
And then as I'm backing out, I'm like, Mama, have you been out of this room? Are you just like here all the time?
No, Miss Eloise told us to stay right here, told me to watch Molly, and I've been taking that real serious, Jeffy.
All right, well, Molly's not going to remember I was here. Don't you go telling Miss Eloise that we saw each other, okay?
All right, Jeffy, I promise I'll keep your secrets on.
All right, Mama, now, here, before you get too thirsty, and he, you know, cuts his wrist, lets her, if she takes it, drink.
And she immediately latches on. She's already 2 steps. She's already in. She feels
roll,
the vitae coursing through
check.
Her.
Oh, I don't get hungrier.
You don't get hungrier.
Which is good, because I was at 3.
And that was the third night, the third drink. Mama is fully blood bonded to you, Jeffy. She will be completely loyal to you. And as you ask her to keep the secret that you were here tonight, you know that she would give her life to protect it.
And he backs out just saying, all right, Mama, You stick to that girl, okay?
Yes, son. I'll protect her. I'll watch over her, just like she's one of mine. Even better. And there's a moment of truth in that statement when she says even better to you, Jeffy. Like she's perhaps acknowledging she did not treat you well.
We'll see, Mama. We'll see. You prove that to me, all right? And then he gets out the door and he closes and locks it.
On to the next room.
Yep.
And Eloise, you seek for Jeffy. This is where you find him, cleaning the rooms diligently.
Oh, Jeffy, you're cleaning. I thought you would be in the bar.
Oh, I mean, we've been closed a few nights and just nothing's been getting done here by the day staff. So, you know, figured, you know, you see this toilet?
Yes, very nice. Would Eloise pick up on Jeffy lying / withholding information from her?
That's interesting. Roll me your wits and your insight versus Jeffy's manipulation plus, what is it, subterfuge.
It's a bestial fail. One success.
Oh, no.
All right.
Jeffy.
Yeah, that's, it's not going to be good for Jeffy. And you're at 4 hunger now. So, obviously, Eloise, you pick up on the fact that he is hiding something from you. And if he could sweat, he would be sweating right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeffy, if you were really interested in finding your mama, you could have just asked.
Jeffy, I need you to roll me a frenzy.
Ooh. No!
But it's going to be a provocation. You're at 4 hunger, and this is how we're going to play out your bestial failure.
Okay.
Because you are pushed to your limit.
Fury frenzy.
Beast is rising. Yes, this is going to be a fury frenzy.
I did get 4 successes.
All right, so you are barely able to maintain control of your beast and not lash out at Eloise, as she mentions. As she sees right through you. She sees that you found Mama, that you were sneaking around the hotel behind her back.
Yeah, so then under these conditions with Jeffy just like kind of at a rolling boil, just like, I did, Miss Eloise, but I tell you, I did. I'm sorry. And you see him kind of just like locked down. Mm-hmm. He's looking at the ground. He's locked down.
Very well, Jeffy. I figured you'd stumble upon her sooner or later. I hope you understand, Jeffy, that I wouldn't have hurt her. Not for no reason.
Yes, Miss Eloise.
And you do understand that preserving the masquerade is of utmost importance?
Yes, Miss Eloise.
All right then, Jeffy, then. I'd like for you to make sure that she stays in line.
Yes, Miss Eloise.
Very well. Back to business. We received word from the prince.
Yes, Miss Eloise.
Is this all you're going to say all night?
Tell me what to do. I just want to be a good boy.
All right, that's the Jeffy. That's the Jeffy I know. Well, it seems that we've acquired the deed, but the kindred that we are aiming to remove from the home, it isn't alone. We don't have much further information, so we don't know precisely what we'll be getting into, but we should be prepared for anything, if you know what I mean.
I'll go get my guns.
Very good. Thank you, Jeffy.
And Jeffy just like drops the mop that he was using to clean the bathroom and like heads out to his bar, basically.
Very good. And as you're heading out, this is around the time that Melinda, Foxglove, and Jason are arriving at the Bella Muerte. So, Eloise, I believe you've probably at this point returned to the front desk where the Tremere crew rolls in.
Mm-hmm. Eloise, hi! Eloise, we're back!
Yes, Melinda, Foxglove, Jason, lovely to see you this evening.
Ah, very nice to see you too, Eloise. Congratulations on the promotion.
Eloise does a slight curtsy, like awkward slight curtsy. Yes, Will?
So Melinda tells me there is a mystical problem that you perhaps need some assistance with.
Yes, well, first, why don't we all go to the conference room and discuss further? And Eloise is going to lead everyone in there. Just because that feels like a more appropriate space to talk about such things.
Converse, yes. So you reconvene in your conference room, gathered around your table. Eloise, you're with yourself at the head, of course.
Okay. So Eloise is going to pull out the deed and kind of... Well, does Eloise notice anything about the deed, or does it just look like a deed?
It just looks like a normal deed for the house. You see the address of the property. Everything looks legit about it.
Turn sense the unseen.
Yes. I'm not even going to make you roll for it. As soon as you activate your sense the unseen, you perceive blood sorcery runes etched into the paper.
Jason, do you see that?
Oh, yes, of course I do. It looks like it's a key.
Well, that's great news. That's exactly what I was hoping for.
Will it get rid of the wards, or just let us pass through?
May I? And he reaches for the deed.
Mm-hmm. Eloise slides it over.
He takes it from you and picks it up and studies it. It will allow passage through. I don't think it permanently dispels. Whose handiwork is this?
Well, that we don't know.
Well, this didn't come from my chantry. He places the deed back on the table and slides it back across to you, Eloise.
Looks like the prince might have more than one set of mages.
Well, that's a disconcerting thought.
Anything else you can tell us about this key? Or
well, what you it seem might to know unlock? what it leads to, the house, I'm assuming. Melinda brought me up to speed on that.
Do you think it's actually a good idea to use this key? Someone went into a lot of trouble to keep this thing inside. Yeah. You want to take it out?
Yes, well, as the sheriff, I think it's my duty to take care of some of these potentially more challenging tasks.
I mean, presumably, we don't know who made the runes, but it was at the behest of the prince, and the prince has given us the way to bypass them, so I think we've got the authority.
That does not mean it's a good idea. We can still get in a lot of trouble. We could die. Well, for real this time.
That's the more troubling part, yes.
Well, we'll have to bring the muscle, as it were. Because we do know that whatever it is we're trying to remove from the home is not alone down there.
And we know that most likely, Jeffy and I will be useless.
I was about to say, I don't think chest muscle is what we need. You guys got affected and you weren't even near this thing.
Well,
I was near it.
Here's a question for you, Jason. Is there anything you can do to help us either understand why Jeffy and Shep were harmed by or had this experience? Or is there anything that we can do to perhaps protect them?
Well, if you told me a little bit more about this phenomenon that affected the two of you, I could perhaps see what I know. I mean, it sounds very unusual, I will say that.
Well, I mean, it all started, I had, I don't know, it's something, have these, like, thoughts and notions, sort of visions, things that come into my brain sometimes. And, this one had to do, you know, with the house, and there was, like, some chains, and there were some claws, but most importantly of all, there was this crazy, like, you know, like, when you see fire or the sun, hopefully never the sun, right? But anyway, like, that scream that, like, your blood does, like, I had that, but in my brain. And then, Shep, I can't speak for you, but,
I had the same feeling in my blood. When I approached from...
Feelings of terror, then.
Yes.
And I felt it, like, clear across town when we were trying to get a message to the prince.
That is most unusual.
For me, it only happened in the sewers, under the house, not when I approached the outside, above ground.
Jason looks to Melinda. It kind of shares a knowing look. And then back to the rest of the group. There is a ritual that my chantry can perform to fortify the two of you from terror, particularly terror frenzy from the beast overriding you. I don't know if that will afford you complete protection to whatever this entity might be, but it's the best we can do.
How long is it going to take?
This one takes about half an hour or so.
Eloise, I think it's worth it.
Eloise, do we aim to go back tonight?
I think that if we can take precautions to assure your safety, and that has to push us back a night, then we should do that.
Don't think half an hour will do that.
Well, there are a few ritual accoutrements that I will need for this. I could complete it tonight if you're set on going back. He kind of looks over to wounded Jeffy as he's speaking. Especially since Jeffy's going to be one of the targets of the ritual.
It might be best to take a night to recover a bit.
So are we decided we'll reconvene in a night or so? We'll conduct the ritual. Melinda, you have a space here. We can obviously use your studio, of course.
Of course, yes.
I think you probably have half of the supplies that I need here already.
Yes, and if I don't, I can get them for you.
Seems like we left the Anarchs with the impression we were going to get back to them real soon. Do we need to touch base or let them sit?
Eloise just kind of gives a, like, Anarchs kind of gesture.
How late in the night is it at this point in time?
I think at this point in time, it's probably around 2 a.m.
Okay. So still kind of plenty of night left.
Yeah, there are other tasks that you can accomplish. Jeffy, you need to feed.
I desperately need to feed.
Pretty desperately.
And I think, I don't know, like he's kind of pretty beastie right now. Right. So he's a little bit like on edge.
No, oh, yeah, you're definitely on edge for hunger. The beast is right in the back of your mind.
And he goes to Foxglove and he's like, hey, I'm pretty hungry. Like, remember how you said you wanted to show me what, like, I should be eating? Like, hey, let's fucking go.
Oh, yeah, I think that's cool. Are we done here for tonight?
Well, I'm done here for tonight. I'm just too hungry. I have to go eat. I don't know. What are you going to do? Like, you got some shit going on?
No way. I'm going to check in with Eloise real quick before we take off.
Yeah.
It's just good to let her know where we're going. You know, some weird shit going down.
All right.
Foxglove comes and sidles up to you, Eloise. Hey, Jeffy's looking pretty hungry. So if it's cool, I'm going to jet. I've got this like bar that I was going to take him to.
Yes, that's a good idea to, you know, everyone, if you need to feed, take care of yourselves, make any preparations ahead of what may be a pretty scrappy night tomorrow. So yes, go ahead, Foxglove, and thank you for checking in.
Cool. Thanks, Eloise. I'll check in with you later when we get back. Come on, Jeffy, let's go. And she'll like tug on your arm.
Hey, Foxglove, let's go. Let's go get what approximates drunk.
All right, so Jeffy and Foxglove leave. You hear the WRX engine crank right up. And they sail out of the parking lot. Melinda.
Is Jason still around? Is he going to stay?
He is probably, if you guys are done with the meeting, looking to depart. You did bring him in Foxglove's car.
Oh, right.
Melinda, could I borrow that scooter of yours outside? I think I saw Jeffy and Foxglove. They kind of made a quick exit, and she was my ride.
Oh, I apologize. That was kind of rude of her. I'll talk to her. Yes, as long as you don't mind wearing a pink helmet.
Ah, we do what we must.
Okay, well, here's the helmet. And probably the helmet has like some bedazzled M on the side.
He's not going to put the helmet on. And in fact, when he leaves, he's going to leave it like right on the curb.
You should at least take it with the scooter and just put it on the side. Don't make me lose my helmet.
He's going to leave it there with you. Hopefully nobody takes it. But he's a vampire. He's not wearing a helmet.
Least of all, a pink bedazzled helmet. Yeah.
So yes, Jason will take your scooter and depart.
So as soon as he does, I think Melinda will go and knock on Eloise's office.
Come on in, Melinda.
Eloise, can I talk to you for 5 minutes? I know you're really busy, but I need to run something by you.
Please, sit down.
Okay. Melinda will sit down and, like, cross her legs and, like, put her hands on the table, but feel comfortable, put her hands on the lap, and then just settle on putting it on the side, like, on the handles of the chair. But she looks very awkward.
I do not mean to bring this up to make you angry or to give more troubles, but wish to discuss what's going to happen with Molly.
Yes, that is something that has been in the back of my mind, Melinda. We certainly can't keep her forever, and the longer we have her, the more she becomes a risk.
Well, yes, I agree. But we cannot also just send her away. She might be in danger.
Yes, well, she also knows too much, Melinda.
Well, does she? She doesn't know where we go. I never explicitly said to her what we are.
No, but if she shares what she has seen with the right people, it might lead to unwanted attention.
But maybe we can just find a way to erase or make her forget some details.
What are you proposing, Melinda?
Well, we should figure out where this, what was his name? Ross? Ron? Rue?
Rook.
I don't know. Oh, yes, that's the same name I was saying. Where is he? Is he still alive? Is he still trying to find a safe place for her? We need to find him. In the meantime, maybe I can find a way that we can deal with Molly without actually dealing with Molly.
Right. I suspect that because he hasn't come back doesn't bode well for him. But if you'd like, Melinda, you can pursue trying to track down this Rook. Perhaps we can send our own messenger to go and find him, but if we're unable to find him, we're going to have to figure out a solution on our own.
Fair, yes. Okay, I'll see what I can do. Yes, and we're 100% sure she's fine with Jeffy's mother, right?
No, in fact, I'm not 100% sure that I'm fond of that situation. I think that I know that you've taken a liking to this human child, and out of respect to you, Melinda, we can try to make sure that nothing harmful comes to Molly, but you have to understand that preserving the masquerade and doing what's right for this coterie to keep us safe and to keep us in good favor with the Camarilla, we may have to make some difficult decisions. So this is going to be on you, Melinda.
I completely understand, Eloise, and of course the masquerade is the most important thing. But I doubt, and please, I am being honest with you as you have asked me hundreds of times to be, but I doubt Molly would put us in danger as making your own mother one of us, or a ghoul.
Yes, Will. That's not up to you to form a judgment on, Melinda. That will be all.
Melinda's just gonna stand up and, like, nod and just leave the office.
Eloise kind of shakes her head and it's like, I don't know what's becoming of this rivalry.
Oh, right. No.
So is there any other business at the hotel before we follow Jeffy and Foxglove? Chef, what are you up to?
I don't really have anything to do at the hotel.
So yeah, it seems like business is kind of concluded for the night, so you're headed back to your caves.
Probably. Unless Eloise needs me for anything specific.
I don't think so. Alright, so I think Foxglove is definitely going to take you to a dive bar, so let's come up with a name for a Phoenix dive bar. A fictional Phoenix dive bar real quick.
What about the prickly pear?
The prickly... That's good, because I think this is kind of like a metalhead kind of dive bar.
Cool.
All right, so the prickly pear. It's on the outskirts of the city, technically within what would be Eloise's domain. The outskirts are kind of the bellhop's territory for feeding, at least. So you jump into the passenger side of Foxglove's WRX. The engine fires up. And you head a short ways down the road, a couple of turns off the highway, and you pull into the small paved parking lot of a little dive bar. The neon sign outside names it the Prickly Pear. You're going to love this place, Jeffy. It's really fucking cool here. They play good music. The people are really chill. The bartenders are cool. You can kind of pretty much just do whatever you want. And the bathrooms are super private, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that's a lot. Well, okay. I've been past here before. Never been inside. It's, man, look at that. Okay. Bunch of cool people. Okay. Do I need, change my clothes?
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, but you do look, now that I'm looking at you, you do look kind of dorky.
I mean, I'm wearing sandals, and I see just, really big steel toe boots on, that guy, that lady, pretty much everybody here.
Yeah, we can head to the Walmart just up the road. We can get you some, leather work boots or something, maybe some jeans.
Is it necessary?
For what we're going to do, probably.
All right. You show me the way, Foxglove. I'm at your mercy tonight.
You gotta blend in, Jeffy.
Yeah. I'm at your mercy tonight. You make me into whatever vision you see for this particular venture.
So you get back in the car, head over to the 24-hour Walmart, and Foxglove dresses you in some leather work boots, some jeans, and she takes out a little switchblade and cuts up the knees. Put some, distressing on it. Maybe a jacket of some kind. Do they sell leather jackets at Walmart, do you think?
Pleather, maybe. Not.
Pleather, yeah. So enough for you to look the part. And she gives you a black bandana.
Well, man, I feel silly. But if you think this is the way.
It's close enough.
All right. Back to the place,
head back to the prickly pear.
I don't know. Do I need to blush of life? Feels risky to me.
You don't really need to.
Yeah. Okay.
You're going into a dark, crowded, loud bar. The chances of somebody spotting that you're unnatural is pretty low. And Foxglove Parks. Out of the car. So you're gonna love this place, Jeffy. You're looking great, by the way. You see a bouncer at the door. He's a big, burly, tough looking dude, wearing a leather vest. He has tattoos all over his arms. And you probably recognize you would instantly recognize Jeffy Prison Inc.
just checking the IDs and stuff, basically.
Yeah, he's checking everybody's IDs, letting people in. Some people he's turning away.
Well, Jeffy just goes up and he's like, he's got his ID prepared because he does have one. He's like, hey, buddy. Hey, man, nice to see you back out.
He looks you up and down. This is your first time here, man.
Yeah, heard good things, though.
He's eyeing you real suspiciously. Until Foxglove comes up behind you. No, man, he's with me. It's cool, Matt. It's totally cool. This is Jeffy. This is Jeffy. And immediately she kind of gestures for you to, hey, shake his hand, introduce yourself.
Jeffy kind of oh, how rude of me. Hey there, Jeffy, nice to meet you.
He gives you a really firm handshake. Hey, man, yeah, nice to meet you. Hey, enjoy yourself in there.
Hey, appreciate you.
And Foxglove kind of takes you by the arm and escorts you in. Music is blaring. You see a jukebox in the corner.
What kind of music plays in this particular venue?
I think tonight they're playing 80s heavy metal music.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, okay. So Jeffy kind of like walks in, leans over to Foxglove. He's like, hey, you know what? Normally not my speed, but it's totally different than what I thought you were bringing me to. So, all right, I can get on board with this.
Yeah, all right, Jeffy. Well, I don't know how you normally... I mean, I know you normally go to, like, the Walmart or whatever, right? So I don't know if you have, like, a type here. Like, if you want to go buy drink of choice, you can do that. You know, just kind of hang out around the bar and wait until somebody orders something that you want to feel. If you're looking for other drugs, hang out by the bathrooms.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to do my best. You have fun. I'm going to have fun. Meet you back in the parking lot in, like, what?
Oh, I'm going to need at least an hour.
All right. Call it an hour 20.
Yeah, hour 20. Back in the car?
Yeah.
Should we... Oh, wait, Jeffy. And, like, as you're walking off, wait, Jeffy. Should we have, like, a signal if we, like, need help or something like that? If something, like, goes down? Oh. I mean, I normally do this alone, and I'm pretty good at it, so...
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. Maybe like a hootaloo.
Yeah, got it. Well, hootaloo.
All right. Well, happy hunting.
All right. So, Jeffy, you head off into the crowd. It is a very crowded night. It's a pretty rowdy crowd. Some people are drunkenly singing along, dancing. You see a few tables. They have like gambling, like poker games and things like that set up. There's a pool table. People are kind of taking bets. What would Jeffy like to do?
I think, first of all, he just takes a lap. You know, this is not the kind of place he's used to coming. He probably thinks it's pretty cool. He's like, oh, look at all these folk. Oh, man, they're really going for it. Oh, man. But honestly, I feel like pool or something of that nature, something he can hustle, you know? Maybe they have darts. I feel like Jeffy might be pretty good at darts.
Oh, they definitely have darts. Yeah.
So he kind of sidles up to this, you know, faceless mass of people in leather and chrome playing darts. Like, oh, I know this one. You got to get it in the center, right? Can I play?
Oh, yeah, man. You want next?
Yeah. What's the buy-in?
He looks you up and down. $20.
Yeah, okay, all right. And Jeffy has, like, I think still a few hundred from the gun run, so
yeah,
peels off a 20.
Do. See if it's 20 on the game. So to play darts, roll for me your dexterity and your athletics.
All right, cool. I'm not particularly worried about how I do. This is just my end.
Sure, yeah. But let's see how you do.
That's a total of 4, so it's all hungries.
It's all hungries. This could go very badly for you, Jeffy.
Wow, that's a 5-point messy critical. I rolled 3 like crit dice out of 4 hunger dice. You tell me what that means.
All right.
Even when I succeed, I fuck it up.
So one of the I just wanted to reference this. So one of the possible effects of a messy critical is the character breaches the masquerade.
Oh, good God.
As they visibly demonstrate basically something supernatural.
Shit.
And I think this is a good place to kind of showcase that. I mean, I think what happens is literally just kind of like a like all vampires can do this like blood surge kind of thing where you're just like you're too you get too into the game and you just move too unnaturally, like quickly with the darts. I don't think this is an outright, like full on breach of the masquerade, but I think like people are like, something's fucking wrong with you. Like, I think your movements are too precise, too quick to be human, maybe almost like robotic.
Perhaps because he's a Malkavian, he kind of like goes glassy eyed and looks off into the distance and then just like throws a perfect
Yeah, bullseye. That's great. Yeah, yeah. And immediately your opponent, hey, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? Like, what the fuck was that? Are you cheating or something? Like you're fucking what? Weird, man. Just give me the money. Give me my money.
Here. Yeah. And Jeffy's like snapping out of it, gives him his money. I guess I just got to fucking leave because I can't follow up after that.
So as you're going to leave, you see some of his buddies have kind of gathered around you. Who are you, dude? What are you fucking doing here?
I just came here with a friend. I mean, come on. I'm not trying to cause any trouble, guys. I just, oh, come on.
This big dude, he's probably 6'2". You notice he's got prison ink, too. His prison ink is religious in nature.
Oh, great.
I don't think so, man. There's something not right about you. I'm not gonna let you go just yet. What are you trying to pull here tonight? What's your name?
I just came with my friend to play some fucking darts and, you know, come on, why don't you just like let go, buddy? And man, I'm being observed by so many people. I already rolled that thing that says I'm a masquerade breach, so I'll lean into it and I'll just say, hey, forget about it, buddy. And then I try to bolt for it. Like, make this big guy let go of me. And I'm just going to try to make a break for it. And as part of
so
that...
So as you activate your dominate power, hey, forget about this, buddy. His grip on you tightens.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't think so. He leans in real close to you and says, vampire. How do you respond, Jeffy?
I mean, do I see Foxglove around?
Roll your wits and awareness, please.
All right. Crit for 5. Another messy crit for 5. God damn it.
All right. Let me see what other options we have for messy critical. Okay, so I'm for this one, I'm just going to go with the final option. If none of the above conditions fit the narrative, such as stealth or awareness test, the messy critical turns into a simple mess and the test fails as the beast clouds the senses or otherwise makes a quiet solution unattainable. So the beast is just too present in your mind. You are really at this point on the verge of either hunger frenzy or fear frenzy. It's kind of both at this point. And as you look around the crowd, your face blindness kicks into overgear and it just becomes a mass of faceless faces. And you don't see Foxglove. You feel quite isolated, quite alone.
Well, like you said, it just gets messy. I feel like he's going to try to blow this guy's brains out.
All right. So he is holding you right now. He is kind of like gripping you.
Or maybe like draw into his gut and pump a few rounds into his gut. Like he's trying to shoot this guy to get away.
Okay. So as you are drawing, he is with his free hand. He's pulling out his rosary.
Oh, shit.
And he holds it up and brandishes it against you. I need for you to first roll for me your frenzy. Unspent willpower. And I've got to roll his resolve plus true faith.
The shit. Foxla.
You found a hunter.
It's a fucking single success.
You got one success?
Yeah, one single success.
All right. He got 4 successes.
Sheesh.
So, essentially you are forced back and you have to avert your eyes from him. So you're essentially forced back and cowering.
Yeah.
You can't take a step forward, so each success by the faithful mortal forces the vampire to back up a step and avert their eyes. If the faithful touches the vampire with their symbol, this scene, the vampire also takes 1 point of aggravated damage per success. Jeez. As the symbol sears their flesh. A critical success forces the vampire to flee and triggers a test for terror frenzy. So, he is trying to touch you with it, though.
Well, yeah, I can't let that happen.
So roll for me your dexterity plus your athletics.
Jeez,
to get out of his grip.
I don't even care that I'm at max like 4 hunger. I'm going to rouse the blood.
This is a desperate situation, Jeffy.
2 successes. No beast shield, but 2 successes. Right, I could spend a willpower. Hold on, let me spend a willpower.
Oh yes, yes, go ahead. Yeah, this is critical because if he touches you with it, you take one aggravated wound per success, and he rolled four successes.
I rolled crits on my two reroll dice, so amazing. 2, 4, 5, 6 successes.
Six successes is enough. You are able to weasel your way out of the vampire hunter's grasp. You are forced back by the power of his true faith as he brandishes the crucifix at you, but you are able to slip away and gain some distance. You can't look at him. You do have to avert your gaze.
Oh, I'm not trying to look at him. I'm trying to find somewhere I'm not observed so I can become invisible and try to get the fuck away.
All right. So for that one, Jeffy, roll me a wits and awareness.
Okay.
Let's see if you can spot a place where you can kind of duck out of view because you don't have vanish yet. You have to be
unobserved. No, I have to be unobserved. The same. Should I rouse? I'll rouse because this is important. The beast is screaming in Jeffy's ears because he's already hungry and this is like a really sketchy situation that he's found himself in. So I think I'm just going to rouse on principle every role I have to do in this scene. Still not hungrier. Okay, we're chilling. Regular crit. 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 successes.
All right, so you spot a table in a booth that you can dive under. You dive into the shadows, activate. So make a rouse check for unseen passage.
We're hungrier. 5 hunger.
Oh, so you're at 5 hunger now. Okay, so you dive under the table, you activate your unseen passage. The beast is absolutely screaming at the forefront of your thoughts right now that you need to eat. You need to eat immediately. These are all tasty mortals. Despite the danger of the situation, you could just quickly sink your fangs into one, grab one on the way out.
I mean, am I frenzying?
No, you're not frenzied yet. If there were to be any blood present, any provocation, you would be at the very verge of frenzy.
Right.
But you're not at frenzy checks quite yet. If there were to be a fight that breaks out or something like that, and the smell of blood is in the air. Yeah.
Can I get out and then find like, I don't know, someone away from these, hunters to like potentially fuck up, right? Like, I don't give a fuck if I do it out there away from these hunters. If I get found in this moment, I'm done for, you know what I mean? So like, I'm trying to get away if I can.
So you could carefully make your way to the exit. You would have to wait for the door to open,
right?
To slip out, but like you could certainly do that. As like the bouncer is like opening the door. The way obfuscate works is like people kind of subconsciously avoid you as long as you don't touch them.
Okay, so I don't need to do like a little like tiptoe all like through the crowd and potentially get bumped out. You do have to do that
to a certain degree, but no, people won't bump into you as long as you don't bump into them.
I want away from these hunters. I want out of this building. My hunger will be sated, but it's not going to happen in this fucking club.
All right, so you make your way over to the exit. It is a tense, long moment while you wait for the door to open. The hunters are scouring the club looking for you.
I feel like I'm probably hiding, even though I'm like generally unseen, I'm also hiding. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Just in case. Yeah. But after an agonizing wait, the door opens. It's left open for a lingering moment and you were able to slip out outside.
Get out of sight of anybody who might see through my fucking shit immediately. I don't trust it. And he didn't succumb to my powers. I don't expect him to succumb to this power either. So yeah, I'm moseying.
They're just heading invisibly, still obfuscated down the highway.
Yeah, I'm out.
There's a gas station not too far away. 24 hours just off the highway.
I probably lurk back by, you know, gas stations have the bathroom out and like around the corner into the back. Probably like lurk by one until somebody uses it, sneak in behind them, and then fucking I need food.
You wait about a half an hour and you see a trucker kind of tiredly stumble into the bathroom. He fumbles with the key a bit. It's definitely one of those where you have to go in and like ask the cashier for the key. He fumbles with the key a bit and opens the lock. You're able to slip in behind him. Jeffy, as soon as you sink your fangs into his neck, I need you to make a frenzy.
Yep.
Hunger frenzy, because you are at hunger 5. The beast wants to eat them all.
0 successes.
So you are immediately, the beast takes over. You sink your fangs in. It is a bloody mess all over this bathroom. And you drain the trucker dry. So set your hunger to 0 and give yourself 3 stains against your humanity.
It's just what we're doing these days.
Actually, this guy's a true innocent. I give yourself 4 stains against your humanity. This is truly a despicable act.
So Jeffy just like comes out of it like, oh, 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 hell, oh, hell, oh, hell.
And that's where we're going to end the episode.
Clean up at the rest stop.